All right, guys, are we ready? Are y'all ready? Let me get you guys to come back up here in your seat, okay? Because in a few minutes, we're going to bring somebody down. We have to illustrate tonight. We're going to talk about somebody getting stoned. So we're going to bring them down here. And y'all don't want to look like liable candidates for this election, okay? So slide back up into your seats for me, okay? We've been going through the book of Joshua, and that's where we're going to be tonight, going through the book of Joshua. And if you've got your Bible tonight, we're going to be in chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. I love a good story. Don't you? I love a good story. Jamie, I'm going to go ahead and switch to this lapel.
How's that? All right. I love a good story, and my kids like stories. They like it when we read stories together, and sometimes my wife will read stories to our kids, and sometimes I find myself coming up for story time, you know. I love a good story. I read one recently about a fifth grader, and he entered a storytelling competition. And boy's name was Jack. Jack was 10 years old. And you're going to like this, all right? I'm going to read you this little section here. I must have been 10 years old when I entered a story reading competition in my school. It wasn't a big deal because obviously it wasn't sports, so there were just four kids participating. I was one of those four. The 10-year-old with his pants fastened too high above his waist, who still didn't know he needed prescription glasses. The theme of this storytelling competition was legends. Legends. Okay, this young man chose a particular one that meant something to him, and he just he went in feeling brave, feeling ready to leave the judges in awe of his unprecedented storytelling skills. Okay, so let me finish reading you this. I was a shy kid, so going up on stage and giving it my all required a level of strength I didn't know I had in me. I can still remember that metal taste of fear in my mouth, but the show must go on. So I went out there drenched in a cold sweat, unable to control my hands. I had the coffee jitters way before I ever even tried coffee. I took the stage and I recited the legend of Cantuna with my squeaky preteen voice, and I nailed it. I can't remember who else went up, but I will never forget the little blonde girl who performed last. The plot thickens. I remember her hair, her face, and her voice. But I don't remember the story she told. It's really easy to forget the message when the messenger doesn't deliver it appropriately. Let's hope that doesn't happen tonight. She never finished her story. In fact, about halfway through, she broke down in tears, as little kids are wont to do, and stepped off the stage. I felt really bad for her. She had the same exact fear that I had, but she hadn't been able to take control of it. Well, I felt bad for her for about 10 minutes, which is about how long it took the judges to deliberate and determine who the winner was. When they came back, they announced, fourth place, some kid. Third place, some other kid. It was down to me and this girl. Second place, me. Now, I'm not claiming to have ever been a good loser, but this one stung bad. I had nailed it. I'd used hand gestures, tone, poise. I never even stuttered. But the girl won because the judges felt bad for her. She didn't complete the challenges set forth by the competition rules, yet she took the top spot. Sometimes you give it your all, and you still lose, because life isn't fair. You know why we relate to that story? Do you know why we listen to that story and we feel for Jack? We felt like he really deserved to win. He felt like he should get the first place position instead of that little girl. And from his perspective, I agree with him. So let me ask you this tonight. Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like you deserved something that somebody else got? I don't know if there are many things in life that are more frustrating than that feeling. You're driving down the highway. Some jerk zooms down, cuts you off, keeps on going, passes somebody on the shoulder, and then you see blue lights behind you, and it's pulling you over. Oh, I tell you. Or maybe you got in trouble for something that somebody else got away with, and it just wasn't fair. I really think that's probably happened to all of us at some point in time. If it hasn't, don't worry, your time will come. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, okay? We're going to talk about somebody who felt like that tonight. And I want to start off by sharing this quote with you. It's not that bad things happen to good people. We've heard that before, right? Bad things happen to good people. It's not that bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to everyone. And the way good people respond is what makes them good people. I thought that was pretty good. We've been going through Joshua, the book of Joshua. Pastor was in Joshua chapter 6 last week. And where we left off, just in case you missed last week and you're just joining us this evening, where we left off was the city of Jericho is defeated. Okay? The walls have already come crumbling down. The city is in ruins. Israel is the victor. They go in, they loot the city, they move on, they're getting ready to go to Ai. But Achan took treasures out of Jericho. He took something, okay? He stole things that did not belong to him. I mean, the audacity to just walk up to somebody and say, I'm taking this. No, he didn't really do that. He actually found something, and he was like, nobody's around. I'm not going to get caught. There's no consequences, so I'm just going to keep this. And I can get away with this tonight because Miss Michelle's not sitting there. I'm just kidding. I'll give it back to you. So Achan takes something that doesn't belong to him. Now let me read you this. Joshua 6, verse 18, "And ye in any wise keep ye yourselves from the accursed thing." This is the warning to the men of Israel before they go into Jericho. "Keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse." And what does he say next? "And trouble it." He spelled it out very plain, okay? If you take something, it will be cursed. You will be cursed. All of Israel will be cursed. Okay? Continues on, verse 19, "But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord." Don't take anything, but even beyond that, these things belong to God. Okay? So he goes through this list. Silver, gold, vessels of brass and iron, they're consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. You don't get to keep those things. They go to the Lord. Now, when 3,000 men of Israel went to fight at the city of Ai, okay, this was after Jericho, 3,000 men of Israel, not all of Israel, they looked over there, they saw puny little Ai, and they're like, we don't need all these people. All we need is just 3,000. So they march on Ai. This is going to be a cakewalk. This is going to be easy. The armies of Ai defeated those men of Israel, and 36 men of Israel died that day. The rest of them turned tail and ran back to Joshua. So we pick up in Joshua chapter 7, verse number 12. And I want you to look at this one with me. Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 12. I'm going to get you to help me out on this verse, Okay? So I want you to be preparing yourself. I want you to listen for the cue. I need you to help me read three words out of this verse. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 7, verse 12, therefore the children of Israel, help me out, could not stand. Let's try that again, okay? Therefore the children of Israel, help me out, kids, could not stand. We're getting there. One more time, let's see if we can get everybody on board, okay? Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand. We got it. They couldn't stand. They could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies. They ran away because they were accursed. Why were they accursed? Someone stole something. Because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. God speaking to them, I'm not going to be with you anymore. Except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Guys, I want to give you just four very simple truths tonight. Four very simple truths tonight about sin in our own lives. Four truths about sin in our own lives. Number one tonight, sin cripples us. Sin cripples us. Because we just read it. Therefore, the children of Israel, what? Could not stand. Man, you guys missed it again. Let's try it one more time. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand. You are right in my corner. You are right along with me tonight. I love it. The children of Israel could not stand because sin cripples us. Sin cripples us. Israel was defeated. Not just Achan. Not just Achan. Not just the man who stole something, but all of Israel could not stand. They could not move forward. They could not take their next step. They couldn't stand. They were stuck. When you have sin in your life, it cripples you. It keeps you in a place where you can no longer move forward in your life. You're stuck. You're crippled. You can't move. Sin cripples us. Don't make the mistake of thinking that your sin only affects you, because sin always, always, always affects those around us. It always affects those around us. And we'll rationalize it in our minds and we'll say, nobody knows. It's just me. And it's never just you. Four things about sin in our life. Number one, sin cripples us. Number two tonight, sin always comes out. Sin always comes out. Be sure your sin will find you out. It always comes out. You might get away with it for an hour, a day, a year, maybe even a decade. But it always comes out. See, Achan thought he was going to get away with it. He thought he was scot-free. He thought no one saw. He thought no one would notice. But God saw. God saw, and God knew. I'm going to read you another verse tonight. I don't think this one will be on the screens, but it said in verse 14, in the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. I need some help tonight, guys. I need some help. So let's kind of spell this out, all right? So God's commanding Joshua. And he says, Joshua, you're going to start out with all Israel. Okay? And basically what Joshua does is he goes before them and said, okay, who stole something? No takers? Okay. I need to separate the 12 tribes of Israel. So then he goes to this tribe. And he says, God, is there anybody here? Does anybody here have anything you want to tell me? Okay, no. Y'all are good. Y'all can go home. Next tribe. And he does this. And he goes tribe by tribe. He goes through all 12 tribes of Israel. If you don't know what that is, all right, the entire nation of Israel, okay, this has got to be somewhere over 1 million people. He divides them up into groups because these guys over here, they're descendants of Levi. And these guys over here, they're all descendants of Reuben. And he breaks them all down into those 12 sons of Israel. Okay? And that's how he begins. He goes through those 12, and then he narrows it down. Judah, no confession. But it's in the family of Judah. So he takes the families of Judah separately, okay? All you with this last name, all you with this last name, all you with this last name, okay? I'm trying to bring this up to modern day so it'll make sense. But he takes those families. Did anybody want to tell me anything? Okay, God, this one, no, this one, no. Okay, but it's in this family. So now he's narrowed it down to that group of people. And in our minds, family, we think mom, dad, kids. No, he's talking about this entire group of people. We've narrowed it down from 1 million and now we're like 10,000. Okay, you take that one, you take that group, and then you divide it up into like individual households is what we would think. Okay? And he finally gets it down beyond them to Achan's family. He's gone through the entire nation of Israel. And then he gets all the way down to Achan's family. Achan's family. And he says, okay, Achan, we got to talk. What's going on? Sin cripples us, and sin always comes out. But I want to give you a third thing tonight about sin in our lives. Sin creeps up on you. Sin creeps up on you. I personally don't believe that Achan woke up that morning and said, I think I'm going to cause some trouble today. I don't think Achan rolled out of bed. I mean, they've marched around the city. This is it. This is number 7. This is the big day. We're going to see if God's going to do what he said he's going to do. I don't think Achan rolled out of bed and thought, I'm going to be evil today. I don't think Achan did that. Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 20. So Joshua narrows it down to Achan and his family. All right, Achan, what do you have to say for yourself? And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. Would you guys help me out again on this one? And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. One more time. Indeed, I have sinned. One more time. Indeed, I have sinned. Look, we can all say it. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw, verse 21, when I saw the spoils, a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So we're all good now, right? Achan made his confession. Not exactly. Do you notice the progression of what just happened in these events? Guys, I need y'all to sit in your seats, please. Did you notice what happened? He saw. There's no sin yet. Still good. He saw. And then he begins to describe what he saw. I saw among the spoils. Oh, it was nice. A goodly Babylonianish garment. He said, man, I saw this dress. And I thought, that's going to look great on me. No, that's not it. He saw this garment, this really fancy garment. And then he said he saw 200 shekels of silver. And then he saw a wedge of gold. Still good. No sin yet. He saw, he's describing. Not sinful. But then he says what? Then I coveted them. Now sin has entered into the picture. Just like that. That's the step that he took. I coveted them, and what's invariably next? And I took them. I took them. And behold, they are hid. He saw. He coveted. He took. He hid. He saw. He coveted. He took. And he hid. It's not a sin to look. It's not a sin to appreciate. But it is a sin to covet. You know, it's not one of those words you hear in everyday conversation anymore. I mean, you don't engage in conversation at the water cooler at work. Said, you know, I was coveting that car the other day. It just sounds weird, doesn't it? Coveting. It's not just desire, okay? That's not coveting for me to walk up to somebody and say, oh, I like those shoes. You're good. Not a sin, okay? Coveting is, I like those shoes and I deserve them more than you do, so please take them off and give them to me. Okay, now we're kind of crossing the line. I should have that, not them. That's coveting. I should have that, not them. I deserve that. They don't. That's coveting. That's what that word means. It's really easy for us to look back on these stories of Scripture and be very judgmental, isn't it? It's really easy for us to look back on these people because we know the end of the story. We know how it turns out. We know who the good guys are and the bad guys. But Achan's just going through life. And he was faced with a decision. He'd fought hard. He'd won the battle. I was in God's army. We took down Jericho. He deserved a little reward, right? He'd earned it. He'd conquered a city. He was doing his job. He's walking along and oh, he trips over something. Oh my goodness. It's an entire wedge of gold. Well, I can't just leave this here. That would be bad stewardship, right? We got to take this. We'll use it to buy some new clothes so we can serve God better. That could go a long way in the wilderness. Oh man, there's a bag of silver right next to it. I could buy a new camel. I can't just leave this here. It'd just go to waste. I'm going to take it home. I'm going to hide it in my tent. No one will never know. I won't get in trouble. It sounds so easy. It sounds like something that you and I would rationalize in our own heads, doesn't it? And it would be really easy to do. But Achan looked at what was meant for God's offering. You remember? The gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron. Achan looked at what was meant for God's offering. And he might not have said it, but he decided I deserve that. You don't. He didn't say it out loud, but by his actions, that's what he believed. I deserve that, God. You don't. Wait a minute now. I would never do something like that. That's what we're thinking, right? I would never do anything like that. I would never take anything that belonged to God. But wait a minute now. I believe the Bible talks something about a tenth of our increase in the tithe that belongs to God. Or what about the Sabbath day? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. God says, that belongs to me. While we're at it, my life isn't even my own. I belong to Christ now. I've been purchased by his own blood. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Oh, man. Maybe I would do that. Don't covet that which belongs to God, because that's where all this trouble started. One look, and he started to appreciate. And then in his mind, he thought, I deserve that. I deserve that. I want to give you one more, and we'll be done. Number four, sin causes trouble. And it always causes trouble. Achan gives his excuses of what he did and why he did it. Remember, indeed I have sinned. But Joshua, you didn't understand. It was a wedge of gold. And you should have seen this garment. I couldn't just leave it there. You know what we don't see in that verse? We don't see Achan saying, I'm sorry. In fact, we don't ever find Achan saying, Lord, please forgive me. We don't ever see any signs that he prayed. We don't see Achan offering sacrifice to God for his sin. There is no plea. There is no lament. There is no repentance. Nothing. We don't see any of that. By all appearances, Achan had become okay with his sin. Okay, Joshua, you got me. I took it. You can have it. We're done. This is why I did what I did. This is why it's no big deal. He justified his sin. Joshua, this is what happened. This is why it's not really that bad. And don't we do that? We do it in our own minds. We rationalize the things that we do so we can whisper to our own spirit, you're not really that bad. And this is what got Achan in trouble. We make excuses when we get in trouble. But let me tell you something. Whenever you become okay with sin, you are in trouble. Whenever we become okay with sin, we are in trouble. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel, what did they do? They stoned him with stones. Can I get a volunteer tonight? I'm just kidding. They stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones, just to make sure. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. You know why they raised a great heap of stones over the body of Achan? Because they wanted to remember. Not the tragedy of Achan. No, They wanted to remember, this is what happens when you cause trouble. This is what happens when you saw, you coveted, you took, and you hid. All this trouble was caused by one thought. I deserve that. What do we really deserve? I mean, what do we really deserve, guys? What have we earned with our sin? That word trouble keeps popping up, doesn't it? Do you know what the name Achan means? Now listen, I'm no great historian. It very well might have been deemed this after this story. The word Achan literally means troubler. That's what his name means, troubler. And it says they named it the Valley of Achor, which is literally translated the Valley of Trouble. The Valley of Trouble. How would you like for that to be your legacy? Imagine being remembered that. Listen, I don't mean to brag, but there's something that we use every day that's been named after me. A John. But thank you. Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee, the valley of trouble. Listen, the moment that you hear that whisper in your ear, hey, that's not fair. Hey, you deserve this. The moment you hear that, you're better than them. You better be careful. You better cry out to Jesus when that inner voice starts speaking to you like that. And ask him for help. You better flee that voice of trouble, because the only place it will land you is in that valley of trouble. Sin cripples us. Sin always comes out. Sin creeps up on us. And sin always causes trouble. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the lessons that we learn from the Word of God. And Lord, I'm just going to ask one thing tonight. Help us to be people who follow after wisdom. Help us to be people who learn from the mistakes of others instead of having to repeat them ourselves in order to learn the lesson. Deliver us from trouble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. At this time, we're going to go into our prayer time.